This insert in your bulletin shows the itinerary of our youth missions team. I talked to Josh twice and Sherry twice, who's on the trip. And they got to New Auburn, Wisconsin on Friday. And on Saturday, they were involved in some worship services that they led for a church that's there. And then they traveled to New Hope Community Church in Lake Villa, Illinois. Yesterday, they helped remove a large stump from Katie's parents' yard, and they said there was chains and people pulling and lots of work. And Sherry said that they stayed at Katie's parents, the girls stayed at Katie's parents' house. And this morning, they're at this Hope Community Church, and they're leading the worship service. They're doing the music, they're sharing testimonies, they're doing the whole worship service. So it's a real blessing. So as you look at this, we printed it for you to take to be able to pray for them at different locations that there are. They're saying it's going well, they love the new van, it's cool and comfortable, and they're just having a wonderful trip. So we're thankful for all of that. Today is Father's Day. There's many, many children in this world that are looking for heroes. They look around and they look for someone worthy to be a hero. They see those hero figures in movies. They see those hero figures in cartoons. And it is wonderful when they see that hero in their own home. You know, when you look at fathers are very important, have a very important role in the life of a family, to be the spiritual leader of your house. And so it's time to celebrate Father's Day. There are different types of fathers. There are biological fathers. There's fathers of adoption, stepfathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers. All of them God loves and God uses in His plan. If we look at the scripture, we see instructions to fathers. These are things that God has revealed to help fathers in their role and their duty as a father. Proverbs 27. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. They will follow after his example. Psalm 103:13. As a father has compassion to his children, so the Lord has compassion to those who fear him. A father with compassion, which is the father of the prodigal son. As we saw that scripture being read, we see the great compassion and love of a father to his wayward son. And we see that as a model of our Heavenly Father who shows compassion and love to us. Joshua 24:15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Malachi 4:6. And He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. That beautiful close relationship between a father and the children. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. Be men of courage. We're going to go down memory lane for just a little bit. Think about your father. Some fathers are heroes, some are not. If you look at the influence of a father, you think maybe of the father throwing a baseball to you or shooting a basket with you out at the basketball court. I remember going out to Sunshine Park and Connor would say, let's go play basketball. And it was fun. And I would beat him every time. He was in middle school. So maybe that's why it was fun. I don't know. And then the guy grows up to be 6'8". And every shot I shoot now, he just swats away. It says, that's fun. Now he's having a good time. Now I'm losing every game. But you know, it's the experience of doing it together. It's the love that there is between a father and a son or a father and a daughter. It may be riding a bike, driving a car, but a father helps shape the life. It may be fixing that toy that was broken in the sorrow of the child and the father takes the toy and fixes it. Maybe a flat tire on the bike, something was involved in helping the child, and it made life better that dad was involved in it. There's also that homework. The dad sits down and says, help me with the homework. And that, of course, is something that is something you can do as a parent. But also, fathers teach respect. Respect for God, respect for others. So this is an important role of a father. The dad has the responsibility to reveal or show God in daily life, just like the mother. But a father's sensitivity to God is a way in which it influences the whole family system. A devoted father is a witness to the wonders of God and that God is working and active in the world that we have. Our earthly father helps us look beyond the ordinary and to see the spiritual difference that we can make in the world. It says in Isaiah 6:3, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole world is filled with His glory." So the father is to help reveal the wonders of God to the family. So our first teaching point is this. A dad has the most important job in the world. It isn't when you punch your time clock that is your important job. Your important job is when you go home, when you're with your family. You are been called to be the spiritual leader of your family, and that's an important job. It's the most important job there is. And you know, if you've had that experience, and I've had that experience of having a father that was not a hero, it affects you. It affects your thinking and your experience. And I grew up wanting to have and set a different kind of example for my family. So my most important job is what I do with my family and how I interact with them. That is something that has eternal benefits. We work a job that has earthly benefits, but being a father, we have eternal benefits. A father's prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, I'm a father on earth. You may have given me this gift and responsibility. Grant me wisdom to carry it out. Let me be there for my children when they need me. Let them and get out of the way when they don't. So the important thing as a father is to be able to help when you're helpful and to get out of the way when you should get out of the way. And let your kids struggle a little bit themselves and learn things on their own. This is the art of fathering. When to help, when not to. Billy Graham has said this, these words, "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society." Powerful words. Powerful words. Fathers, the job of the father is not elevated in society anymore. In fact, it's disregarded and not valued that you would be a faithful father and a good example. It's made fun of, it's criticized, the role is under attack, and you wonder how we should respond to that. Well, the father is that guy that just hangs around the house, you know? Just hanging out there, yep. But he has things that make a contribution. There's this little boy that asked the question at the table, the dinner table, said, "Dad, are bugs good to eat?" The father said, "Well, let's not talk about that at the dinner table, son." After dinner, the father inquired, "Now, son, what did you want? What did you ask me?" "Oh, nothing," the boy said. "There was a bug in your soup, but it's gone now." So this is a time when the father should have paid attention to his son, I guess. Dad ate the bug. If you've had a poor or harmful experience with your father, then let your heavenly father heal the hurt and pain. In many homes today, the words of love and acceptance are seldom heard by fathers. They cannot and do not say to their children, "I love you." They do not and could embrace their children and say, "You're valuable." All children need that kind of love. And yet it's absent from homes. preoccupation from many adults. They're not focusing on the children. They're not focusing on the needs of the family. It's all around us that's happening. All fathers, grandfathers have a very important role in the family. To be the cheerleader, to help those, to encourage those that need it within your family, to be able to be that influence in their lives. Not everybody has had that experience. Fathers are supposed to give words of blessing to their children. Many fathers give words of cursing to their families. They curse their children. They say, you're not valuable, you're not important, you're not worth anything, you're not going to make it in this world. And many children have to experience that pain and suffering in their lives. If you do not hear the words of approval from your father, I'm sorry that you had to experience that. It's a difficult experience. You come today and you have mixed feelings about it being Father's Day. But there are many good fathers and many good examples that we can celebrate. If you carry that hurt and suffering, God can heal that in your life. It says in Psalm 27:10, if your father and mother forsake you, the Lord will lift you up. If your parents have let you down and hurt you, the Lord will lift you up. It says in the scripture, receive you or lift you up. Remember being at camp, Colorado, Meadowdale Ranch. Lots of kids, middle school kids coming to camp. I was middle school director for about 5 years. We had 2 retreats a year. These kids would come all over the place. And I remember we were at the camp, and it was Saturday night. The singing was going on, and there was a young guy in the back, tears rolling down his eyes. He was really in a lot of hurt, and he was carrying that hurt into the camp. Afterwards, the session ended, and I said, do you want to go on a walk? His name was Robert. Went on a walk with him, and we were out, and looking at the mountains and the beauty of that. And I said, well, you know, you're obviously hurting. Can you tell me what's going on? He said, yeah, you know, I come to camp here and everybody loves each other and people are close and I don't want to go back home because it's not like that back home. He was from Wyoming and he's from a little town. And he said, you know, it's not only that the people don't like me in my town, my parents don't even like me. He said, I'm in my bedroom, and they're talking, and they act like I can't hear what they're saying. But I remember my dad saying to my mom, I wish he'd never been born. I wish he'd never been born. This young man is hearing that. He's feeling hurt from his own father. It's not right. It hurts. It changes and destroys your identity of yourself. This young man is feeling that pain and suffering, and of course then he hears his mom say, yeah, I agree with you. So both of his parents are hurting him deeply in his heart and soul. This is a teenager. When you're growing in your identity and your understanding of yourself, and you have this terrible memory of that. So he comes to camp, and he says, I don't want to leave. People love each other. God loves me. I don't want to go back. And I said, you know, there's a verse in Scripture. If your mom and dad let you down, the Lord will lift you up. Can you trust that? Can you believe that? Can you believe that's going to be possible? And he said, about that much, he could believe it. So next Sunday, we had our last meeting at the camp, and we had Robert come up and talk and share to the whole group what he had shared with me, that he was going through this struggle. Off he went to Wyoming. I couldn't stop forgetting about him. He was on my mind. He was on my thoughts. I thought, this, you know, is so difficult for this young man. And there's lots of people like that. Just a little love can help someone. Just a little love, a person in that situation. So I'm a youth pastor at that time, and I said, all these kids in the youth group, I said, write a letter to Robert. We put him in an envelope, sent him to him. 25 letters for this young man. He writes a letter back. And he says, I'm so glad I got all these letters. It just makes me feel good. It makes me feel loved and cared for. Keep praying for me. Continued on. Robert's life got better. He didn't focus on the rejection. He focused on the love. That God loved him and that was going to help him in his life. There are people today in this audience that have that same level of pain about their fathers. And it's very hurtful and difficult. There are also people in this room that have the experience of having a godly spiritual father that they can look up to. And what they have is a great deal of love and respect for that father. So we see in the scripture, what we see here, that instead of breaking the spirit of your child, you've been called as a father to be a blessing to your children. Whether they respond or not, whether they know how to love back or not, your job is to love them. Our second teaching point is this. A spiritual father emulates our heavenly father. This is what we see in the scripture that was read today. It's usually called the parable of the prodigal son, but it could be called the parable of the loving father, because the role of the father is so important in this. This father has two sons. The younger son is called the prodigal. He has a rebellious nature. And then there's the elder son who becomes self-righteous because he's unwilling to forgive his father. The father of the story models the ability of the parent to love his children no matter their issues. They have different personalities. One is rebellious, one stays home, but they both are having issues in their life. We call this the strong-willed child and the compliant child. The strong-willed child is the younger child that wants to do their own thing and get their own way and go their own direction. We have the other son, the elder son, that's the compliant child. He stays home and does everything that's right, listens to his father. If you have different children in your home, you have both kinds. Some that are going to test the limits, some that are going to obey, and yet they still have struggles. There wasn't one good son and one bad son because they both had their struggles. They both had their individual problems. The younger son had dreams but was rebellious and left the farm. He dreamed of a great task but found a great temptation. He dreamed of adventure, but instead found agony. He dreamed of prestige, but found poverty. He dreamed of romance, but wound up in rags. He dreamed of happiness, but he found himself in the pen of a hog. He had his dreams, like any children do, and they all came tumbling down. Many times, I'm sure he thought, when things were bad, of his father, his earthly father, who was loving and caring and thoughtful to him, and he longed to be able to go back and see him, but then he felt like, how can I go back? I've disappointed him so much. I've been such a selfish son. He decides to go back to his home. He has no other options. Everything's fallen apart. He wanted to go back to say he was sorry for what he had done. And these are the words that his father shared in Luke 15, 22 to 24. Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's eat and celebrate. For my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and he was found. What a beautiful gesture of love. But this earthly father is reflecting the heavenly father, because the heavenly father gave his son, and his son was dead too, came back to life, and his son came to be able to help those that were lost to be found. So you see this difference that were made. And there isn't the end of the story. We have the elder son. He's been the compliant one. He too had dreams. But he became angry toward his brother, and it affected his dreams. He dreamed of expanding the farm, but lacked help from his brother. He wanted to be a partner with his brother. He wanted to farm with him and make the farm the best it could be, but he didn't have his brother to help him. So he became upset. He dreamed of working with his family. Wouldn't it be great to be able to have a family farm and to work together and to help each other? That was his dream. But his family became chaotic and broken and divided and hurting and so forth. He dreamed of honoring his father by taking over the farm. But he felt his father left him down because he didn't put his brother in line. He just let him leave with his inheritance. So he was upset, disappointed by that. He dreamed of working hard, but he thought his efforts were disregarded. He dreamed of someday owning the farm, but he didn't want to do it alone. So he was hurting too. He felt unforgiveness to his wayward brother. This is what his father said to him, Luke 15:31-32. And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost, and he was found." There is our Heavenly Father that sent his son that died. Then he came back to life. And the Heavenly Father came for the lost that are found. He says the same thing to both sons. He reminds them of God's plan, God's forgiveness. Both parable stories model the graciousness of God. Like our Heavenly Father, He offers forgiveness, second chances, help enduring brokenness. He takes the brokenness and He heals it, makes it better. The spiritual father has experienced the grace of God Himself. He knows firsthand what it's like to be forgiven, so he can be forgiving in his life. What a beautiful example of a father. Our third teaching point is this, is love is balanced by limits. What's happening in today's world is that there's not limits in homes. Kids can do whatever they want, whenever they want. There's no such thing as a curfew. They have no guidance and no help. It's a father's responsibility to help guide his children, to be able to shape their lives and influence them for the future. There was a man that was experienced in raising livestock. And someone knew that and asked him a question and said, "What's the best environment for raising livestock? Is it an open grazing land? Is it a large fenced pasture? Or is it a corral?" The man didn't have to think very long to come up with an answer. He said, "Oh, the fenced pasture is by far the best. When animals go into open grazing land, they get lost. They just don't do well. They become and go into unsafe environments. If you put them in a corral, they always have to be cared for, nurtured, and they're dependent. But if you put them in a good fenced pasture, all they need is right there. And they can operate on their own. And they don't even notice the fence around them." This is an illustration of parenting. Many people choose the idea of the open pasture. Just go and explore the world with no limits or boundaries. It doesn't work for cattle. It doesn't work for sheep. It doesn't work for hogs. They get in trouble when there's no boundaries. They get lost. The predators come and attack them. They're vulnerable in that environment. So what do? We just corral them up, keep them safe. We keep our thumb under them, and we don't give them any freedom or any responsibility or any opportunity to grow or any responsibility. We just take care of them. We just do everything for them. This is not a model of good parenting, because people need to grow up and become independent and strong and make their own decisions. So the pasture with the fence. Fathers, grandfathers, your job is to give love within boundaries. There are some fences in life. There are some things you shouldn't and should do. And it's your responsibility to teach that to your children and grandchildren. That's a pretty good opportunity that we all have. A Christian father is willing to give his kids parameters. In a society where anything goes, it's important to have healthy boundaries. God has given all of us what we need in his green pastures, but he has also given us fences to protect us. Josh McDowell said this, "You can con a con, you can fool a fool, but you can't kid a kid. Your kid knows. Your kid knows what you're really like, what your example is. What you do when no one's looking eventually comes out. You are supposed to live a committed life in front of your family and your children. You're supposed to be the same at home that you are away from home. This is what it means to kid a kid. They know the difference. You can con a con, you can fool a fool, but you can't kid a kid. They so much want a father that lives a godly life. That is what they want in their life. That's what they need in their life. Max Licato says this, "I was raised in the greatest of homes. Just a really great dad. I miss him so much. He was a good man, a real simple man, very faithful, always loved my mom, always provided for us kids, just a lot of fun." What a wonderful job description for a parent. Charles Spurgeon says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure you go the way that way yourself." So if you're going to instruct your children, live your instructions. That's what it means to be a Christian father. What you say, you do, and you live. Train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure you go that way yourself. Charles Spurgeon. So we close with this thought. The words of our Heavenly Father, Matthew 7, 9 to 11. "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? But if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father is in heaven, who gives good gifts to those who ask him?" If your child wants bread, do you give him a stone? If your child wants a fish, do you give him a snake? You give him good gifts, and that's our Heavenly Father. He gives good gifts. What a wonderful thought in Scripture. At the end of our service today, if you're a father, you're going to get a free ride to Thunder Road. We did that last year, and I talked to the Nordstroms, and I said, they liked it. Give me some more of those. So there's going to be kids in the back, and they're going to give you a free ride. Now, today is Father's Day, and they're giving free rides anyway for fathers, so you don't need to use this coupon. So you can actually get two free rides. You can go today and get a free ride, and then you can use this coupon again for another free ride. So I hope you enjoy it and go as fast as possible on the track. I don't know. We gave these out last year. Hopefully some of you used it, but that's your gift today, and I hope you enjoy it as we close our service. So I'm going to offer a prayer, and then we'll have our closing song, and close our service. Dear Lord, we thank you for Father's Day. We need our fathers to be spiritual heroes. We need men to stand up and say, I believe in the Bible. I believe it enough to apply it to my life, to be a good example to my children, to live a life of faith in front of them. We see all around us the world crumbling. The world is crumbling because people are not living for you. Lord, we thank you for fathers, those that have gone before us, those that have set the pattern for us, that have been spiritual heroes to us. Bless us as we worship and gather today. In Jesus' name, amen.